we're moving, which may not be too surprising to other people that use public transport, but for us, after having a 40-minute stationary wait in a ditch somewhere, it's wonderful. I say us because I'm sat opposite Ian Wardle, who is Ian Wardle, W-A-R-D-L-E, on Twitter. Your business card here says you are the chief executive of Lifeline Project. What does that mean?
Well, Lifeline is a project which, funnily enough, is 40 years old next year, and in that time has been working with people who've got drug problems, drug and alcohol problems, but principally drug problems. So our expertise is in that area, and we help with treatment, information, advice, publications. We do all of those things.
Sounds like a fantastic course. We've been trapped on a train. We've been chatting away. I couldn't help but notice you're left-handed and you have two iPhones, which is enough of a badge to say you are a geek. Would you call yourself a geek?
well, as you said to me, I'm probably not as much of a geek as I imagined, because when I saw the array of kit on the table, I was truly impressed, and you've given me lots of tips about where I must next go in my geekdom. So thank you for that.
Yeah, definitely a smarter geek to me. You're reading Fashion, a Philosophy, and I've never ever seen so many bookmarks in a book. You must bookmark every page.
I bookmark a lot. I do bookmark a lot. It helps me because I find that I read slowly, I digest slowly, mm-hmm. and invariably when I've read a book, I want to go back and look at the bits that were most important to me as I was reading it, because otherwise I simply forget. I read and forget.
I wonder what that book would look like on my iPad. Now, you have bought an iPad for someone as a present recently, and quite interesting, when I'm reading books, you can view or not view the annotations made by other people
right.
who have read that book,
right.
which is an amazingly social experience, because
yeah.
you're not reading that book on your own all of a sudden. So I'll never pick up a book that you've read, though, because every second word would be a noted, but it would be nice to see what you said about that passage. So be kind of interesting if you could do that literally by holding onto the text and then saving it for later, whether it had changed the way you enjoy books, who knows. I'm still a lover of the analog papery book, though.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I think there'll always be a role for books. Yeah, in fact, that's why I carry such a big bag full of them around with me, you know. Yeah, so I've got tech, but it doesn't stop me from loving books and papers and old-fashioned reading, you know. So I'm trapped in both worlds.
It's a very good point, because it wasn't until I started downloading music did I start seriously buying it again. The same, weirdly, with the Kindle app on the iPad. I've started buying physical books again, where I definitely went through a lull. So there's a lot to be said for how this kind of technology changes our behaviour and helps us appreciate as well the physical objects connected to these normal noughts and ones that we get involved in. We had a little bit of a conversation about Northern Soul as well, and it sounds like you were there originally the first time round.
Not really. As I understand the timeline, I was pre Northern Soul.
Oh.
Yeah. I used to, in 1966, 1967, 1968. Relatively short life. I used to go to a lot of clubs. And most of the music played, in fact all the music played, was black music. But unlike Northern Soul, it was a sort of very mainstream experience. I mean, Northern Soul's well known, as I understand it, for being esoteric and for championing minor artists and minor labels. And it's as much about, if you like, the arcane and the unknown. But I mean, the clubs I went to were mainstream clubs playing mainstream music, and at that time, of course, there was a flood of black artists both from the UK and the US coming over, so it was a great time to be 17, 18. But of course, at the same time, you know, I'm talking about 1967, which is sometimes described as the first summer of love. So in 1967 you were listening to stuff like Bob Dylan's Blonde on Blonde, Jimi Hendrix, Are You Experienced? So, you know, there was a lot to get serious about,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
so
you're making me jealous. So, name a couple of the clubs that were famous at that time for playing soul.
Well, at that time I was living in Manchester, and the main sort of all-night club was the Twisted Wheel, which is a very famous club. Mm. you know, one remembers it very well as being essentially a sort of set of underground rooms in a warehouse started up as a nightclub. There was also a really good club in Nottingham called the Beachcomber, which was very, very nearby the River Trent. I think the young Peter Stringfellow owned a club in Sheffield called the Mojo. That was a very good club. Wow. And there was the Cavern in Liverpool as well. I wasn't at all active on the London scene, but there were obviously clubs like the Marquee in London. And
so you were into soul mostly around the north, but not necessarily Northern Soul, because it hadn't really been born as such. Though.
That's right. I mean, I mean, in 1967, I was into artists like Edwin Starr. I mean, he died recently. I mean, he used to come on stage in a white leather coat and sing one of his... He used to sing Agent 00 Soul and Stopper on Sight. He was fantastic. He was very, very popular in British clubs. Junior Walker in the All-Stars, they came to the Twisted Wheel. Benny King, he came to the Twisted Wheel. You know, and they were just there on a Saturday night. It was a fantastic experience, because those clubs, there were health and safety issues. Yeah, they wouldn't be allowed to operate these days, but you were very, very close to the artist, and it was just a very exciting time, you know.
Brilliant. Not as exciting as slightly more exciting than this train actually pulling into London now. I really enjoyed your company. Thanks very much. You've made a 40-minute delay a lot
Good
more
morning.
Enjoyable.
I'd like to inform all customers we will shortly be arriving at London Euston, the next and final stop for this service. Please all change at London Euston. Please ensure you have all luggage and personal belongings with you.
Like technology and books.
On behalf of myself and your board crew, I'd like to thank you for travelling with Virgin Trains. I would also like to apologise for the delay to this service and any inconvenience caused. London Euston is the next and final station. Thank you.
Thank you. And Ian Wardle, thank you.
Thank you very much. The pleasure's been mine. Thank you.